The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the pot of thunder and rock and roll, and it's time for the much anticipated, highly situated Duff McKagan joke of the week.
Chris Jericho, hope you're doing well. It's Duff McKagan calling in, you know. Hope your listeners are doing well. Listen, have you heard about the new movie Constipation? No? Well, it never came out. Thank you. Goodbye.
Duff delivers. Even when he's on the road worldwide with Guns N' Roses, their summer tour is rolling right now. Dates and ticket information at GunsN'Roses.com. Fives has got a huge show coming up as well. Spotlight on London, Friday, August 25th at the O2 Forum, Kentish Town. Massive Wagons and the Chris Barris Band will be joining us. See Fozzy on Friday night, August 25th, and then come to AEW All In Sunday, August 27th at Wembley. It is going to be an AEW weekend in the UK. Go to FozzyRock.com for all tickets and VIP information for the O2 Forum. Come rock with us, London, one of our favorite cities in the world to play, and it's going to be the biggest headlining show in Fozzy history. All right. Today on the show, it's a QTV takeover. QT Marshall and his crew Aaron Solo and Harley Cameron invade Talk is Jericho. You'll hear how and when the faction started, the role that TMZ and Harvey Levin played in inspiring their set and vignettes, and what RJ City brings to the table for these bits. QT also explains how Powerhouse Hobbs fit into the picture, why he thought Harley Cameron and Aaron Solo were perfect for these roles, and the movie that Tony Khan told QT to watch for guidance and inspiration. Aaron Solo also shares his journey to AEW that started with one very formal email during the height of the pandemic, and Harley talks about her recent rap battle run-in with the Acclaimed, hitting on Anthony Bowens, and why he didn't respond, very obviously why, and what it's been like to merge her two passions, singing and wrestling, plus she raps for us, does a great job at that. Plus, QT Marshall starts the show talking about his bloody bout with Pentagon Jr. in AAA's first ever ambulance match at the Triple Mania show in Tijuana last weekend. All right, let's go. QT TV invades Talk is Jericho, starting now. All right, so one of the newest and hottest factions here in AEW is QTV. With, of course, QT Marshall, Harley Cameron, Aaron Solo, the whole gang is here.
We're here.
And there's a lot to discuss because you guys have really been making a lot of waves and been really doing a lot of great stuff. But before we get into that, you just had probably what could possibly be the biggest match of your career this past weekend in Tijuana.
Yeah, it's true. Biggest win of my career by far.
Oh, you won.
I won. I beat Pentagon Jr. in his native land in one of the most horrific matches I've ever been a part of.
I heard it was quite bloody.
It was very bloody, and I wasn't expecting it, but it was pretty cool. And yeah, I'm excited. We'll see if we get to show any of it on AEW. I don't know.
So, but this is obviously for AAA.
Yeah, right? This was for AAA.
Was
right?
It Triple Mania? Or?
This was Triple Mania. Yeah, the second of the three Triple Manias.
And so that's huge, man. Tell us how you got that gig, and obviously Pentagon also AEW. Original, but a huge star in Mexico, being in his home country, like you said.
Yeah, Conan called me, and he kind of had this idea, and we ran it by Tony. And Tony is a firm believer when it comes to me that it's good for me to go out and wrestle in other places because I can help maybe possibly turn the Twitter fans into seeing a different side of me and stuff like that. And
Twitter fans that don't like you?
The Twitter fans that give Tony a lot of crap for putting me on TV.
Wow, because Twitter fans hate me too.
Yeah, but it's a different type of hate.
They probably hate you and they probably hate
Twitter
you.
Hates
yeah,
you.
Right. But they, for some reason, they really, really hate me. And so this was his, you know, this is what he specifically said. I would never let two of my contracted talents go to another company and do an angle like this that could lead to something even bigger that I know would do a great rating for my show. But I believe in you, and I do believe this would help you, and he'll help your career overall. So thank goodness they were able to tell a good story for the past couple of months with doing vignettes here and stuff like that. And then they built it up to this first ever ambulance match in Mexico, which they've never done before.
That's great.
And we could see as we went there, they definitely never have done it before. so it was wild. And, you know, we had weapons and all this stuff, and I was out of nowhere. You know, I just see Pentagon grab these light tubes, and I just...
There's another one. It's called a pyro test, ladies and gentlemen. That's how you know that Talk is Jericho. We film it live during the day.
Yeah. You know, and I just wish for the best and put my head down. And, you know, my mom and dad both watched it. I bought them each a Fight TV, you know, order so they could watch it. And they were not too happy. But, you know, they were happy that I was okay. So
let me ask you this. Obviously not seeing a lot of AAA television, what kind of vignettes did you do to build up the match?
So I had been stalking Pentagon and making his life a living hell between going to his school and beating up his students and taking pictures of his family and him out to eat. And the story goes back to when Penta was here negotiating his contract. We told the story that he asked me to leave the room, which was...
Insulting,
very insulting, because as I explained in AAA, you know, that's a brotherhood that I would never break. I would never tell anyone what anybody makes or anything like that. And part of my job in AEW is to be part of some of those conversations. And I did feel it was very disrespectful and this, that, and the other. And so we were able to tell a good story, and the fans were really into it. And you know, now I go back. I'm in a four-way for the relinquished Latin American Championship, which is a secondary title, the next Triple Mania in Mexico City. So this is my second time wrestling in Mexico. I'm excited. I hope to win the title, and maybe I'll get to bring it back here and defend it here. So.
How did the fans react to you?
They hate me.
Yes,
luckily, because it was Tijuana, there was a lot of people from California,
right.
And Kenny was on the show, so mm-hmm. They had a lot of AEW fans. So we got some good heat. We went out before the show in a local match and just beat everybody up, and I talked crap about the locals and Tijuana people and stuff like that. So it was good. You know, they helped me out. And then by the time we went out there, it was just, they booed the shit out of me. So they booed the crap out of me. So it was, it was good. You know, a lot of middle fingers. And then after I won, someone threw something to hit me right in the face. So I went after them because that clip of Bruiser Brody just went viral where he like went into the crowd and everyone scattered away.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm a tough guy. And then I realized like, I'm not as tough as Bruiser Brody. I'm going to run away. So then we kind of just walked away.
2023 is a different conversation than 1986.
Yeah. Right? I was worried a little bit towards the end, like, oh man, these fans might actually beat me up. Cause
what did they throw at you that you got hit with?
Just drinks and cups. And yeah, they were not happy that
drinks.
I won.
A lot of times those cups contain piss.
Oh, I don't know. Well, I sold the gear that night anyway, so it didn't matter, you know. So, but yeah.
So let's discuss this once again. Not just saying this because you're a very underrated wrestler. Also, you do a lot of work here in AEW. It's always cool to see you building up your brand on TV. And QTV has become a thing with a great lineup here. And we're going to talk a lot to Aaron and to Harley, but just tell us how kind of QTV came out of the remnants of the factory, correct?
Yeah, so we did an episode of Rampage that was the lowest drawing Rampage of all time.
Were you in the main event?
I was.
Thanks for the house.
And I will say this, the main event did really well, but it was just overall was a very poorly, you know, rated Rampage, and Tony called me and said, hey, I think... You know, you're not presented as a huge star, and then you're not leading a bunch of stars. So it's kind of maybe it's time to disband. Let's come up with a new idea. And that, you know, someone pitched Just Joe from WWE.
No,
you know, so
pass on that.
Right. So I was like, oh, man, I don't want to be another joke. Like, I want to do something fun. And
maybe the worst gimmick ever.
Yeah,
it was your clickbait.
So I just said, I was like, what could we come up with? And then Tony said, have you ever seen the movie Pop Star? And I said, no. He said, well, if you look at it, they make fun of TMZ. And I said, well.
Is that with Andy Samberg?
Yes, Andy Samberg,
keep
right.
Keep on keeping on?
So he showed me the clip, and he loved the clip. And I said, okay. And then this was all supposed to be, at the end of the payoff was going to be that it was all good stuff about Will Hobbs. We'd bury everybody else, and it would end up that I was with Powerhouse Hobbs. That's what was supposed to start. But then when the Wardlow match happened, everything kind of just got...
Was you versus Wardlow or Hobbs versus...
It was Hobbs versus Wardlow, and Hobbs' hometown. And
San Francisco.
So it was like, all right, what do we do? And then it was kind of, QT, we're going to put you with him now. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, let's do it, you know? So then we kind of had to go backwards, you know, and Solo's always been Solo, so he's someone I can count on. He's professional. He's one of the. And then we saw, when we originally thought about using the other guys, I was like, we need a female. Who could we get? And a couple names came up, and I spoke to a couple different people, and I just remembered Harley from doing Dark and the music stuff, and I was like, man, she just seems like a lot of personality. So I talked to Tony, and Tony was like, yeah, let's give it a shot. So we were gonna film a bunch of vignettes. And just without any contracts or anything like that. And then all of a sudden this thing just happened. So it was like, hey, you start on TV next week. And so it's just.
Which is funny, Harley, because we had been talking for a while about different things about your career and won some matches and that sort of thing. And on the fast track, suddenly you're here.
Yeah.
Kind of almost as a tryout. And then it's every week. And then now you're on the show and getting the much coveted TV time, which is always hard to get. I mean, so tell us kind of about how that came about for you.
It's funny because it just kind of took off, you know, the speed of light. And I've been training in the ring, as you knew, for a while. And my coaches always would just say to me, just always be ready, be ready. You never know because things happen like that. And it literally is exactly what happened. It just happened so quickly and unexpectedly. And to be honest, I didn't ever think that I'd end up here because I knew that I was very new compared to a lot of the talent that are just so seasoned and like have been in the game for so long. And I guess I just had an opportunity and it went well. And then people gave me more opportunities. And then, you know, like obviously people like yourself believed in me and shit just went bam.
Well, it's almost like right place at the right time. And that's what the business is all about. Mike,
100%.
I'm sure QT will tell you that for sure, right?
Yeah,
absolutely. It's like I said, I'm so, so thankful to be in this position. And like you said too, like just, you know, everyone's in the same boat of, the show's only so long and, you know, it's so good when you're actually getting the opportunities to be on TV. So I'm just blown away with, like, how awesome everyone's been and the opportunities I've had so far. And hopefully it's just the beginning.
Well, and also, too, using your other talent of being a singer, too. That's really come through.
Oh, it's been awesome because back when I first ever started training in the ring, I always thought to myself, oh, it'd be so cool to mix the two passions together, you know, very similar to what you've done, your career and your life.
Right.
So it's I just can't explain how cool it is to be able to do both things that I'm so passionate about now collectively together. It's like just tied in. I didn't expect it to be that way, especially when we were talking about, you know, the idea of QTV and what it would involve. I didn't think the character would develop into having those opportunities. So it's just been so awesome.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Aaron, you've been with QT for a long time with the factory and now with QTV. So what was it that you thought, you think, kept you as part of this group?
I don't know, because there was talks of us being in the group with all the original factory
Which
members.
Which was Nick Comoroto.
Yeah. Who else is in there? Lee Johnson and the new guy, Cole Carter.
Cole Carter, right.
Yes. Yeah. And then we were supposed to do all the stuff that QT had mentioned, and then it got turned into none of us are doing it. The day with when Hobbs won the title, QT came up to me and goes, "You're back in it now." And I go, "Is this permanent? Is it just for today?" He's, "I don't know. We'll see where it goes." And
Will it into existence. You know?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I love being by QT's side. Like, I've known QT much longer than our AEW relationship. We actually met maybe 2013 or so. Just because I would go to the Ring of Honor shows, just trying to get booked and, you know, traveling around with like Kyle O'Reilly and stuff. And, and then, so I met QT, had a relationship with him there. But then, when I came to AEW, QT's kind of like mentored me through a bunch of stuff. So like, I love staying by his side. It's like, for me, it makes, this like difficult job so much easier because like any questions I have, I can just go through.
Well, once again, you found a place, which is, I mean, you were a journeyman for years, and we can talk about that in a bit, but you were, I remember seeing you at AEW in Jacksonville, like at the dark tapings and kind of just being there, and suddenly, you know, one step closer. Now you're a fixture, you know, cause you have a role that you can play.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like what I love about the QTV stuff is it doesn't take up a lot of TV time, but it's every week. And we can talk about other people. We could do stuff. But it, like, I know when we get help, I said it the other day on an interview, RJ City helps us write some stuff. And he writes all of it. He does a lot. And he's very good at what he does. And I told him from the beginning, like, hey, I've been able to be on TV and I'm fortunate enough, but like, let them see, like, let them show their personalities, because I know she has a lot of personality and he has a lot. He just doesn't get to show it. So it's like, and then was it you who came up with the Banaka thing?
Yeah. So I came up with the Banaka
thing. What's the Banaka thing? Tell us what the Banaka thing
is. So it's just the Banaka spray.
Yeah, the spray, the mouth freshening spray or whatever.
Yeah. So they were huge in pop culture. And like when I was growing up, like they were in all these movies, what's the one where you spray?
Dumb and Dumber.
That's the one I think of. Spray it the wrong way.
Yeah.
And then he goes, that's good.
Yeah.
So one day I was on Amazon and I just searched it. I think I watched a movie that had it. So I searched it. I was like, oh my God, they still sell this.
Right.
So then I had friends come over and I was like using it. And they're like, that's still a thing? And then my friends have kids and the kids recognized what it was. So that was my concern. I was like, oh, if I do it, this is like, it's a generational thing. Maybe kids don't get it, but the kids got it. So I was like, let me just try it when we film the QTV thing. And then
it's take it off.
It's like me with the Apple back in the day. Like people,
it's
like
your thing.
Yeah, it's his thing that people started to like comment on. Like, oh, he's always got Banaka. You know?
Yeah.
I remember the Banaka when I had it, you'd spray it. It would taste minty fresh for about a minute. And then it turns into this weird like chemical type taste.
Yeah, it still does. Still the same taste. And
but
like,
it's funny though. It's the same thing as what Danny Garcia did with the Kangol hat.
Right.
Yeah. When you put the Kangol, I'm like, how do you know what a Kangol hat is? You're like 23 years old.
Yeah.
And everyone knows what a Kangol hat is now because the next generation has gotten back into them. Right.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I remember in Australia years ago, everyone used to take him and there was some news story where some bloke got pulled over drink driving and he's like, it was the Banaka. Like, I had too much
the alcohol in the Banaka.
Yeah.
So talk about the QTV segments. Obviously this is based on TMZ
with the
Harvey Levin, and they're kind of all sitting in the bullpen kind of debating what's going on. Tell us how you
So we built a set, travels with us every week, and whatever our storyline is or whatever we're trying to push, like I said, a lot of it was just propaganda for Powerhouse Hobbs in the beginning. And we always have a picture on the screen, and our graphics team is great about making it look just like QTV or just like TMZ. And we don't bury TMZ. It's our own thing, right? It's our version of it. And it's just news. And, we just try to stay current with all the topics, and we've been able to, somehow form it into a storyline right now with the Acclaimed, which was awesome because I knew from the beginning if to show her talent of singing, all right, well, it's either going to be Chris Jericho or the Acclaimed, right? And it's not going to be Chris Jericho right now. So, hey, this is an easy one. Billy and I are very close. So it was one of those things of like, hey, what do you think of this idea? Do you think we could do this? And, and her character in QTV is kind of the two of them. They're just two goofballs.
Right.
So like, it's okay. They always say stupid things. And I always just look, I'm like, where'd you come up with? And it's one of those things that kind of took off. So when we did the stuff with the Acclaimed and we did the segment with them in the ring, when she came out and she wanted to sing, which by the way, like she wrote the rap. And I thought, this is incredible. Like, you need to do this for them in the ring.
Right.
I thought, and this is exactly what I said, that the people were going to, like, start listening, and then they were going to be like, oh, man, this is great, And they just completely wouldn't even let her speak. Yeah. So I was just like, oh, man, this is good.
Because the knee-jerk reaction when you're a wrestler that sings is that it's supposed to be bad.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So they're not hearing they're thinking, like, was it Jillian?
Right, like Jillian Hall,
on purpose.
Yes. Right.
So when you're singing good and you're a great singer, people aren't hearing that.
Yes.
They're hearing with their wrestling ears. It's like, oh, we have to boo her because she obviously sucks.
Yes.
Meanwhile, it's like, it's the opposite. But in wrestling, no, you are terrible singer. That must be booed.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it works in when I was going out there. It's funny because we backstage were like, oh, what if they cheer and it backfires? Yeah. But the thing is, I think when you walk out with the attitude of I'm so good, you just it's so hateable when you're arrogant, you know. So it's like you can either go one or two ways with it. You can go out there and purposely suck, or if you go out there and are good, you just have to be like, oh my
That's
gosh.
Even better because also too, you're going out there against the acclaimed. You're super popular.
Yeah,
you got QT who always has heat. So you're just doing the right, and almost too, it's like this chick is really good, but I'm never going to admit it.
Right.
Yeah. I remember Fozzie played on Raw in Charlotte, and beforehand, this is when I was a heel, when we first started, people were booing, and our drummer was so sad. He's like, I can't believe they're booing us. Like, no, they're supposed to boo us.
Yeah.
This is what we want. Because they want us to boo us. You want them to boo us? Like, yes, that's what we want.
It's like cheering.
Yeah, exactly. Those are our cheers. Right?
Yeah. It's funny walking out to that kind of, I don't think any of us thought it was going to get that kind of a reaction.
No, not at all. Yeah. Because I watched her rehearse, and I watched the talent watching, and I saw everyone like, no one knew that she knew how to do this, right? Because unless you follow her on social media, you don't know. Yeah. And I just saw everyone looking like, and I was like, oh, this is going to be really good. And then she went out there and they just started giving her the booze.
The Don Callis treatment.
Yes. Yeah, I was just like, and I was standing in the back waiting, and Tony was watching, and everyone, and I looked at Tony, I said, that's a home run. Like, you couldn't ask for anything better than that. I didn't even have to go out there with her. For that to happen, I was like, man, this is incredible. And I remember Billy, I could watch him in the ring. They were kind of – and Billy's her coach. He's one of her coaches. Yeah. So he was in the ring, and he was kind of just like, relax, let it go. Like, one, it's Rampage, so if they need to edit it, they'll edit it, right? But at the same time, you don't want to step on the audience because they're having fun right now. And then it all led to Bowens saying – her hitting on Bowens and him looking at her like, girl, I'm gay, you know?
That was so great because, once again, it was like the first time in wrestling history where people were popping in a positive way for somebody being gay.
Right.
So I was just watching the Dark Side of the Ring, Adrian Adonis.
Yeah.
And he says he's gay, and they all start erupting in raucous laughter. Like, you know, those days are gone, thankfully.
Yeah.
So it was actually a really cool moment that I think – if it wasn't pro wrestling, because pro wrestling has such a stigma, people like in mainstream world should have embraced that because it was a huge step.
Yeah.
For sure. So tell us about how that segment came about, Harley, because it was definitely historical.
Yeah, it's who? Okay, you guys have to refresh me because sometimes when things happen, I'm like, who came up with that? That was a great idea.
So if it was a terrible segment, I would have blamed it on someone else. But I texted Bowens and I said, hey, I have an idea. With it being Pride Month, you're on the Pride. I saw the Pride commercial. I said, you know, you're obviously someone that talks about this. You have your YouTube channel. Is there a way with her and her character kind of being naive that you say this in the ring? And he was like, I'd love to. And I was like, okay. I was like, if you don't want to do it, delete this text message. So I don't get in trouble. I said, but if you're okay with it, I think it could be really special. And I just thought the crowd would pop. I didn't think the whole arena would chant he is gay, like in a positive way. So, so I told Billy, and, you know, we said, all right, well, how do we do it? How do we set it up? And Billy's like, I think you need to stay in the back. Just have her come out by herself, because if you're out there, no, they're just going to chant QT sucks, and no one's going to get to, you know, see the whole thing. And, I was overly joyed with how it came out. Like, the Twitter video, I text Tony the next day. I was like, man, we're up to almost 5 million views on this thing. Like, this is something that the next week I told him, like, we need to show this again. Like, don't show our part, but show him and, you know, and all the stuff. So, you know, we took a chance.
Yeah.
When you said, I know you want me, and I was like, I don't think so.
Yeah. That pops, every time I watch it, I pop so hard.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
When you are around all this, how are you thinking about how can I get involved more from the personality standpoint? Because QT says you have a great personality. We know that you do. So what do you do when she's out there singing and there's all this kind of pomp and circumstance?
So my failsafe is the spray now. That's my failsafe. When I don't know what to do, I just start spraying my mouth. But I kind of just, you know, like that night specifically was like Harley's night. So like I don't want to be like doing so much where I'm taking attention away. And I kind of feel like that's been my role as like a supporting character, which I'm 100%
fine. That's part of the team.
Yeah. 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 So I kind of just, I just do that stuff. And then whatever the, like the business of the night is, like, I just, I feel like, the reason I have the job here is because I play the supporting character fairly well, you know?
Well, and that's so important. I always say to everybody when you're in a wrestling company, that's like being on a good football team or a good hockey team,
yeah,
is that, you know, one guy is the quarterback, mm-hmm, and you know that's the go-to guy, and this guy's the wide receiver, and this guy's the fullback, but you got to have the tight end tackles on the right side make their plays too. If everybody does their job, you win a game.
Right. Yeah, of course.
If you don't, there's no job that's too small or too big when you're on a team, and this is the way I've always felt AEW, especially in wrestling, as you know, and as many companies as we've worked in, this is the closest to a team that I've ever been a part of.
Mm.
Yeah. So for you to say that, it's a great point, because that's your job here on this team.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I think the best thing for us, all of us, is that the main star is Hobbs, right? Or like up until recently was
right,
Hobbs.
He's basically gone from the.
Yeah, and we're still doing stuff with him on Saturday. That's the hard part, is we're traveling every week. But it's, you know, I can't complain about TV time, right? Of course. But it was like, hey, there's no pressure on us because this is all about Will. Mm-hmm. So let's put him over the best we can. And if something good comes out of it for us, even better. But he's someone that the company is really taking a liking to. And, you know, I know the fans hate the fact that he's with me, but there's a bigger reason why he's with me. And he understands that, and I understand that, and stuff like that. So it's like, but there's no pressure. It's not like me with the factory where it was like, all right, I'm the leader of this group.
You, yeah.
Yeah. And it's also like, if you're not getting pushed as a leader of a group, like, it's hard to. Like, Anthony Ogogo was in the group, and he's like, how, why would I want to be led by you guys? Like, you're the loser, you know?
And I'm
like,
gang.
Right, and I'm like, yeah, I know. There's nothing I could do, you know? Because with my office position, like, the one thing I'm not going to do is push for a push, right? Mm-hmm. Like, but if I can help other people, and yeah, if I get a little bit out of it too, great, of course. You know, I've worked hard, and I feel that we've, every chance we're given, we do well. Mm-hmm. And until we strike out, then, you know, then I think we should be afforded more, right? Like, that's just the way the business works.
That's the way the business always works.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one thing that I can say about QT, too, is like, I don't think people realize how much he does for everyone else. And it's just like me personally, like, I can't like praise you higher, because he's never been someone that's like, every time I see him, he's trying to find ways to like help other people. Like, and like, that's just like the same with Solo, like, just working with them has been so awesome, because it's a very like, homogenous feeling of everyone's quite selfless and everyone just wants the collective to do well, and everything's just like worked so organically, and you know, we get along great. But it's a lot of like hard work and sacrifice on QT's and goes in that I don't think people see, which is like something that I know I feel like lucky to be a part of. So thanks, mate.
Yeah, that's why the QTV outtakes are really good, because I'm so stressed sometimes. I say some wild stuff, you know.
Oh yeah, we have fun filming them.
Yeah.
Do you have a part in the edit of them?
Yes and no. I mean, we try to do them all in one take, so this way we don't have to let the team go crazy, especially with Dynamite and stuff like that. And
so much, yeah. Our team's not exactly the biggest team either,
right? And yeah, so we try to do it all in one take if we can. It might take multiple takes, but we try to just go straight through all the way to the end. We try to keep it short. You know, like I said, a minute of TV time every week is phenomenal, you know, to get that kind of TV time. And then we always try to upload a video. Like, we have Morrison now in the – not Morrison, Johnny TV. You know, his Twitter is real John Morrison
at this point. Yeah,
but, you know, so like, he'll send in a video. This way he doesn't have to travel that week. And we try to make it work the best we possibly can. And, you know, I think it's something different that, it, you know, on our TV, it's different. Whether people love it or not, I don't know.
Well, they're not supposed to love it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, realistically.
They're supposed to hate it.
They're supposed to not like it, you know. But
Aaron, when we talked earlier about you kind of being around Dark and all that stuff, is working in AEW the first national contract you've ever had in the business? That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. So I'm coming up on 14 years wrestling. And I've like kind of dabbled in every company, but it was always just like one day you're used as extra talent or you're booked for whatever match it is, you know. But AEW is what really gave me the real opportunity. Actually, I text QT, or I sent QT this really formal email. That's how I ended up coming here.
What did it say in the formal email?
I think it was like, hello, QT.
Hello, sir.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know who he is. You know what I mean?
My name is Aaron Solo.
The best thing was when I sent him that email, I don't even know if he read it, but he texted me because he had my phone number like 10 minutes later.
Hey, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah. And then he was like, yeah, we'll use you on this date.
So you were asking for like an official application of may I come, please have a match on Dark so you can see me and
exactly. And then so that happened in July of 2020, and then
what a crazy time to think back to July of 2020.
Oh my god,
like wrestling at Daly's Place every week in front of like 20 people, like
20 workers,
20
right?
20 extras,
and then sometimes wrestle until 2-3 in the morning. Sometimes,
remember that?
Yeah, it was
either
wild.
Super hot or super cold. You know which one you're gonna get.
Is this during COVID?
Yeah. But like, you know, I always say this, and of course for the world it was a terrible time, but for like my career, I've been wrestling in a wrestling school in front of nobody for 10 years, so to wrestle in front of nobody, it was an even playing field because you couldn't go off of a live crowd. So you know, you're just going off of how good the match was and, you know, what I guess people were saying on YouTube or whatever, and it gave everyone a chance.
I said this 100 times on this show when people would say, it must be so hard for the young guys to work in front of new people. I was like, the young guys, it's hard for me. Those guys work in front of 100 people. I've been working in front of thousands since I was 22 years old. This sucks.
Yeah.
Because you didn't know, like, maybe you're over. Like, I remember, like, Orange said to me one time, did I sell too long? Did I sell too short? I'm like, I don't know.
Right.
Because the crowd tells you that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know anything anymore. Yeah. Like, do I suck? Do you even remember anything about me? Yeah. So anyways, July of 2020 is when you sent this email, Aaron, and you finally get the call. So continue from there.
Yeah. And then my first night I had a match with Scorpio Sky, which was amazing because we're both California guys, but me and him have actually never wrestled each other before.
You're Northern California. He's Southern, right?
Correct. Yeah. Yes, correct. And then I remember being so nervous because, one, I felt like this is my opportunity. Two, it was in the pandemic, so I haven't even been in a wrestling ring for like 6 or 7 months at this point. And, you know, gyms are closed, everything like that. So I'm like, I don't know if I can, like, how I'm going to
do push-ups on your floor.
Yeah. So I was just like, okay, well, we just got to go out there and see what it is. And I remember coming back from the match and thinking I did terrible.
Mm.
Because there was the no crowd, there was just, you know, I didn't know how I did. But then people were coming up to me. They're like, that was really good. Like, you know, like, that was great. And then I remember watching the match back, and I must have made something up in my head because I thought I, like, just completely crapped the bed. But it's actually one of my favorite matches now that I look back at it because Sky is so great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then at the time, Cody was still here. So I went up to Cody and Tony Khan, thanked them for having me here and all that. And then they brought me back for the following taping, and because that was always something I did. I even to this day, I still thank Tony every time I come back from the curtain, just because, you know,
it's a professional thing to do.
Professional, and this is always what I wanted to do, and I'm one of the few lucky ones that gets to do it every week now.
You're right.
So I remember the second time I didn't want to be a bug, so I thanked them, but I didn't like talk about like possibly coming back. So I
never want to be that guy, right? So like, maybe if you need me, I'm always around.
No shit.
I remember I asked Conan once, right when I was first starting. I was like, "Are you guys hiring?" He goes, "We're always hiring. It depends if anybody's any good or not. We're not gonna hire you, but we're gonna hire somebody." Are you hiring? Like, it's Wendy's or something.
Right.
An extra line cook here.
So because I didn't, you know, say like, hey, I want to come back or whatever. Of course, like, you know, there's hundreds of people that are trying to get in at that moment. So I was at home another 2 months, just kind of sitting like in bed because there's nothing to do and during COVID. And then I remember texting Cody and QT, and I was like, I need to get in front of them in some other way. And they had the school, the Nightmare Factory. Yes. So then I text them, asked them if I could come, all this other stuff. And then they took a few days because, of course, I text them on probably one of the busiest weeks that you guys had at the time. And then
so we were filming all the matches in one day or whatever.
It was definitely a pay-per-view week because I remember when QT got back to me, he was again, professional. Sorry, pay-per-view week, but I made sure to get back to you. And then so I stayed in Atlanta for a month and a half or two or so. And then I just kept getting brought back from there. And then that's, you know.
When did you finally get the call that you got a deal?
So I remember we had to do the spit test for COVID before we flew, especially the West Coast guys, before we flew out. And I was turning in my test at FedEx, and I had an email from CD. and it said, like, congratulations on your hard work. We're offering you a contract. Here it is. If you accept it, then, you know, sign it and send it back and all that. And, yeah, I remember – it's funny because I remember that day, and I remember, like, being so excited, signing it, and then I was just kind of, like, sitting in my bed afterwards.
Nothing to do.
But I had, like, romanticized this entire thing for years because it took me 11 years before I got an official contract. And I, like, romanticized this thing of, like, going into this big office and shaking everyone's hands and all that.
A pen with a feather on it.
Yeah. And then I was like, well, I guess.
Like a firm handshake at the end. Got the job, buddy.
Calligraphy.
Yeah.
Not that way, though, right?
Nope, not at all. But, you know, it's regardless, it still gave me what I wanted. So it's okay that, you know, my big romanticized signing of the contract didn't happen. But it's
the real life of pro wrestling, right?
Yeah.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Now, Harley, obviously you were training for a wrestler as a wrestler and you had some matches and you were doing really good. But also we talk about the personality, how important it is. And who knows? You're going to have a match at some point. Even if you never do, it's about making your mark as a personality, as a character, which you're doing. You're very goofy, funny. But singing wise, you're a great singer. And I remember seeing you beforehand when you did a video with Shotzi and Scarlett.
Yeah.
Then you did something with Claudio and Cole and those guys.
Yeah.
So how were you getting involved doing those videos? And then I want to ask you about the amazing rap that you did as well. Let's go back to these videos you did with the girls and then with the guys.
Yeah, so I've always been a musician. Professionally, that's what I have done for the majority of the last 10 years of my life. So I, once living in Orlando and became enveloped around... there's a lot of wrestlers in Orlando.
That's the hub.
That's the hub. So my friend group grew and developed, and I've always composed and performed professionally, you know, and I started doing that when I was able to. But also I couldn't work in America for the longest time.
Because you're obviously from Australia.
So I had no workability. So like I remember the day I landed in America, I was staying in a hotel and I went down and saw like this rock show, and I went in there that day and I was like knocked on the door and I was like, hey, I want to sing here. I'm a performer, but you can't pay me because I can't work. I said, but I work for free. And they were like, well, this is an impersonation show. And I was like, oh, yeah, I can do someone. Who do you want? And they were like, who can you do? And I was like, oh, no, Christina Aguilera, Lady Gaga. They're like, yeah, Lady Gaga, whatever. And then from that day on, I started performing in America.
Hold on a second. You can't just gloss over that.
I was going to say.
So you did a Lady Gaga invitation.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you give us a line of Lady Gaga?
I used to smash Shallow out of the park. Don't say so myself.
Give me one line.
Okay. I'm off the deep end, watch the sun diving.
Did you win? You got the audition.
You like that?
That's it. Yeah, that's all.
Yeah.
Pass the audition. That's right? Amazing. And once again, that was untuned live singing right there.
Everyone says that I bloody tune my voice. Can suck it.
So you get the gig doing the Lady Gaga, but you can't get paid.
I can't get paid, which is fine with me because I was like, I'm a big believer in making shit happen. You know what I mean? And I was like, someone's going to see me.
You
something's going to happen.
Never know who's watching you.
That's right. And that started me getting other gigs and then other gigs and then other gigs. And then I started, you know, getting huge opportunities. And then when I started doing higher scale stuff, people in the wrestling world were my girlfriends who also sing Scarlett and Shotzi kind of like approached me one day and they're like, hey, like, let's do like a passion project together and release a song. And I was like, okay, that sounds fun. Let's do it. And I think they wanted to kind of get more into music. And, you know, I wanted to learn more in wrestling and we just bonded on the different worlds colliding. And so I wrote that song Indestructible and we recorded that and everyone loved it. The internet went wild over it. Twitter liked it for a change. And then it's funny just because when that happened, I then had other wrestlers hit me up and start to ask me like, oh, can you write me a song? Can you write me a song? So then I did one with the boys, you know, that came to fruition.
Video game guys, up, down, down, or whatever.
Yeah. I did one. WWE released one, actually. I did a Halloween song and they released that.
I like hearing Claudio rap.
Oh my gosh.
You guys got to hear that.
It's the best. It's so good. And I just recently wrote music for a girlfriend of mine who's over in Stardom, and it's just kind of skyrocketed me writing more music in the wrestling world. So at the moment, I'm loving writing theme music. It's kind of my thing.
It's great. So because you never were actually officially with NXT. You were just living in Orlando. Yeah. Time.
So my story is an interesting one. I don't know how much of this I'm allowed to say, I want to say, but I can just say that there was plans for me to go to another company. And then, you know, that company decided to release a lot of people who were all involved in the process.
Right.
But thanks to them, I learned how to wrestle and I ended up getting my green card. So,
thanks to them.
Thanks, guys. You missed the boat.
That's the way you feel, though. That's the way it should be. Did you ever have any tryouts at NXT, Aaron?
I did. And I had the very first one in the Performance Center in 2013. But, man, when I did it, like, I'm not a huge guy, and 2013 was very different what the mold of a wrestler was.
Heidenreich and the Nathan Jones and those guys around that time, right?
Yeah, like, I remember going into that tryout, and then there was two other guys my size, one of them being Mustafa Ali, and then everyone else was just giant. So I was like, man, I don't know if there's really a chance here. But I gave it my best. They gave me a fairly good review, and then I did extra work with them, but nothing ever came about over there. So,
did you ever have a try with NXT? I know we've discussed.
I was supposed to, and then they took it away.
That's right.
And then I tried to get a job as a coach. They said we're not bringing any guest coaches, and the blade went down the next week. And I said, and I literally told Damian Priest, I said, I'm going to open my own school, and I'm going to make them rue the day they didn't hire me as a coach. And sure enough, Yeah, now I'm helping offer contracts to guys that they like. It's just, you need that. I think, I'm sure you've had something in your career that you've held on to that you're like, I'm going to prove it, right? I need to prove to somebody, whoever it is. And honestly, sometimes it's just ourselves, but it does help to have that.
Dude, that's what happened to me with AEW. I mean, they had first right of refusal, and they refused. So I was like, okay, I'll go to AEW. We'll start this AEW thing. Like, whatever. I'm like, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Here we are.
Let us know.
Gotta go to Wembley,
Aaron, we have a connection because of Bay Area Wrestling.
Yes.
Which is a place I only worked three matches there in the summer of 92 for Woody Farmer in Haywood, California. Mm-hmm. And his son was Shane Cody, which is very highly kayfabed. You weren't allowed to know that. But I did a documentary with the Bay Area Wrestling guys. I've talked about it quite a bit. And you are actually from that area. Mm-hmm. What was your connection with Bay Area and with Woody or Shane or anybody from that place?
Sure. So I started with a company called Big Time Wrestling.
Kirk White, right?
Kirk White,
The late Kirk White, great guy.
Yeah, who recently passed, or not so recent, a year or so ago. Shane Cody was there as well, who Woody Farmer used to run Bay Area Wrestling. And I think Shane Cody had been out of wrestling for some time as I was starting up. And he wanted to get back into it, but he was like, I can't do singles. I need a tag partner. Well, me being the brand new guy, I was like put with him.
You're the bump guy.
Yeah, which I was the bump guy. And honestly, like, it was good because I got to see him, like, he had so much more experience than me. So, like, even though I was like his tag partner, kind of just bumping and stuff, when I was on the apron, like, and he'd be in the ring, I got to learn a lot just by watching how he'd like take control of the crowd and things like that. So
it's almost a forgotten thing too, just let me interject, and QT, you probably had this as well, those local legendary guys that everyone in the area knew but no one else knew. Like in Calgary, there was a guy called Jerry Moore or the Great Gama, those type of guys you could just go and learn so much from that never made it to the mainstream, quote unquote.
Yeah,
Shane Cody being one of those guys for sure.
Yeah there's,
but very valuable to be able for a young guy to learn from,
of course. Yeah, so there was Shane Cody, and then the trainer of the school, his name is Jason Styles. He is actually the original trainer of Bailey as well. So
gotcha.
That's and then we both came out of that school and kind of just kind of did a lot. But I actually did go to Lance Storm school prior.
No kidding.
Yeah, and actually it was
tell us some Lance stories.
Yeah, Lance is great.
Yeah, straight shooter, if there ever was one in this business. What a rare thing.
Yeah I love it. Yeah. So I'm a little embarrassed, but so you're my favorite wrestler ever.
Yeah. Suck it, QT. Like, I've known you for 3 or 4 years. I never knew that.
It was just a.
He tells me all the time. We're going to get a match one day. I'll figure out how to do it. The singing, we'll figure it out.
Anyways, the way that I ended up going to Lance's school was I kind of fell out of love with wrestling just in high school, just because, I'm partying and BSing like high school schoolers do. But your book came out, The Lion's Tale. So I was reading the book, and then I think it said that you had started at 18. And I was like, I'd heard that like TJ Perkins started at 13. Soraya had started at like 14. I'm 20 reading this. Yeah. And I'm like, God, I'm
started.
I was like, I'm so old. I can't do this. Like the ship has sailed. But then you mentioned Lance Storm quite a bit in the book. So I remember looking up his age and it said 21. And I was like, I have a year on him and he did pretty well. So, but as I was looking that up, he also had his Storm Wrestling Academy at the time. So straight away, I sent him an email and, you know, his camps were booked for the next two or three or whatever. And then I ended up going to school in September of 08. And I remember being really upset because I think you were in the September 07, like you showed up in the September 07.
Yeah, that's when I had left wrestling for like 2.5 years and I wanted to go back and train with Lance to kind of warm back up again. So that, I was just there recently.
Yeah. And I was like, man, I hope Jericho shows up. And you didn't, but Edge actually showed up.
Oh, cool.
Up, like one bad. Of the last days of camp and all that. But
but he's not your favorite, so. He was
but I did like him a lot. That's but, cool. Yeah, but that so it was your book that helped me go to Lance's, and also like because I had followed your career and everybody, like I know that you had went to Mexico,
right.
You went to Japan, you doing all this stuff, and the guys in my area kind of just they went around like within a two hour radius, and I was like, I want to do it the way that the guys I looked up to did it, so that's why I went to
Canada.
Which
is the way that I did it because the guys that I looked up to did it.
Yeah,
so it's always the way that the generations progress, but you always got to follow the guys that you admired. That's why I always wanted to go overseas, was because of Benoit and Eddie and those types of guys that were traveling, Scorpio and those types of guys.
You know? Yeah. So that was my first like excursion thing, and then I didn't know where to go, so I went back home and just started training there for about 2 years, and I ended up like moving to St. Louis, Orlando, Texas, and then I had short excursions in New Zealand and England, just really tried to go everywhere just because it was stuff that, you know, the guys I looked up to did. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's different, I'm sure, and from when you did it to when I did it. But yeah, it was great. And again, it took a while to get here, but I wouldn't trade that experience for anything.
That's how you learn, though, right?
Yeah.
You learn a lot of different styles, too. Mm-hmm. So you're not just everybody cookie cutter in the same vein.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Harley, let's talk about how when you finally got signed, because once again, you're, you know, the three-year overnight sensation or however long you've been in America for, because you were here only for a month or two when you got signed.
Yeah, so I just got my green card approved, and so I train at Flatbacks on a Spears and Breeze.
That's Spears and Tyler Breeze.
Yeah, right. And I just remember for the longest time, you know, I'm still there. Still every time that I'm home, I'm still there training. I'm like...
That's
you know,
great.
Every single like
because you never know. Like you might have a match tonight. You know the way things work.
100%, 100%. And also the thing is too, like a lot of people cap on the fact that you know I'm doing music here, which I think of course you're going to showcase talent when you
Absolutely.
Get the opportunity to. But I love wrestling. Like sure. I wanted to become a wrestler. Like I'd pretty much done what I wanted in my music career for the most part, and I started you know training at Flatbacks and I was there all the time, and I just couldn't do anything because I didn't have the green card. So then I was waiting for it. It was in the process, but it took forever. And it, you know, in the interim, I started going out on the indies, but I was scared to because I had to do things for free again. Because if you get caught, you get deported. It's
serious.
Yeah, so you've got to be really careful because even though I was doing shows and you know not being paid for certain things, if I go through customs and they see I've done it, they can be like, "We don't believe you. You're deported. Never coming to America again." So I got out as much as I could on the indies to the level that was safe.
And also the other side of the coin is once you do get your green card, if you've been working for free, no one's going to want to pay you.
That's right.
You went for free last time. What am I supposed to give you $100 now?
Yeah. Yes, you know exactly. I mean? Right. And I just desperately wanted the reps. And that's why I was consistently, you know, consistently a training. But my coaches were kind of like, look, the indies will be good, you know, are good because it's going to help you in front of a crowd. And I was kind of like, I'm going to be okay in front of a crowd. I just want the reps and I want the experience. And then finally an opportunity came up and I got to do dark and I came, did it. I think my dark match was my second match ever at AEW ever. Yeah, and it was against Willow. And
it's crazy.
Yeah, about it. It's crazy.
A lot of people, if they had their second match on a watched show, would probably not be invited back just by proxy if it's your second match.
Yes, 100%.
My second match was terrible.
Yeah.
For sure.
And the thing is, too, I cough a lot of heat from people saying, you know, I'm new and it's an opportunity that's unfair. And at the end of the day, if something is given to you, what do you think I'm going to turn around and go, oh, no, thank you. I don't want to achieve my dream. Like, shit, was I thinking it was going to happen that quick? No.
You can't listen to that, though. Like you said, it's the right place at the right time, but then you embrace it and make it great.
Yes, exactly. And between then and there, I didn't – the – gosh, when was the last time we – so I got invited back – a few months later, did another dark. And then when I showed up that day, they were like, can you cut some promos? And I was like, oh, crap. Yeah, like, hell yeah, let's do it. And then I'm thinking, what the heck's going on? And then they were like, you're going to come out and you're going to have an entrance. And I was like, what? And I was like, people don't get entrances here unless you, you know. So I was kind of like, oh, what's happening? You know, freaking out. But, you know, did the match. And then very shortly after, you know, QT was in contact and they just said that they had an idea that I was, you know, suitable for. And I wasn't sure if it was going to be a permanent thing or, you know, what was going to happen. But I just knew that if I could prove myself and, you know, that
foot in the door,
get the foot in the door, then hopefully I, you know, could stick around. And I know a lot of QT went into bat for me a lot. I had a lot of people like Billy, I had Spears, my coach, obviously just people who knew me and they believed in me. And thanks to them, like, that's why I'm here. And I'm just very lucky.
What was the straw that broke that sign?
So we were in Tony's room going over stuff and we were talking about one of the other talents that her contract on a per appearance was coming up. So it was like the perfect opportunity to throw Harley in there without, you know, making it look like I'm just being selfish,
once
right?
Again, you know it's going to help yours.
Of course, 100%. And the whole point was originally was one of the other young ladies we were thinking about didn't want to wrestle. She just wanted to be a part of the group, and right. You know, and which was cool. But Tony was like, man, I really want someone else that will wrestle because we can do mixed tags and this, that, and the other. And I said to Tony, I said, hey, and what about Harley? You think we could put her on a weekly, you know, because she's coming every week. I know she's giving up another thing because there was maybe a performance, maybe WrestleMania, like a lot of big stuff that, you know, that she's kind of not, she's taking a chance on us. And I said, and he goes, yeah, I just, you know, besides the dark stuff, I just, you know, I haven't really seen her wrestle. And, you know, and then we don't use her. I said, well, Tony, she wants to wrestle. Like she'll wrestle on the house show next week. Mm-hmm. She can't wrestle on the house shows because I've been telling her she can't because we have to pay her. And the house shows are what we're using salaried people for. So it was just one of those miscommunications. And he was like, okay. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, I was like, this is great. You know?
Go.
Yeah, let's fucking go. Exactly. It was one of those,
or
you know.
Here's the other Tony. He sent him a big long text. If you get the heart emoji
that's
response,
it.
You're good.
Yeah, that's it.
Heart. I'm waiting for that heart. Like, I got a heart. I got a heart.
Yeah.
You have to get a thumb and you're like, oh, shit. Yeah. What did I do?
Or you're worth nothing.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Exclamation point. No.
Yeah. When you get nothing and then, you know, then you see he's 464 text messages behind. You're like, that's okay.
That's okay. Yeah.
You know.
As we start to wind down here, I want to ask you guys a couple of questions, but especially with you, Mike. I mean, you do, sorry, QT.
I like Mike, believe it or not. I've been trying to get rid of QT forever. Forever. It was a name I came up with when I was 20 years old because I was a good and it's I was Mr. Irresistible,
right?
And they WWE said you need a name, and I was like, man, what kind of name? So I came up with QT, and everywhere I go, they're like, nah, we're not gonna let you use that. And then they're like, oh, QT, and I'm I don't know, whatever. There's
get
a gas station
because he's
you know?
A cutie.
Yeah, yeah, get it.
So I mean, Harley mentioned, and I did too, that you do a lot of stuff behind the scenes here in AEW. You've been here since day one.
Yeah.
How have, like, I feel so proud about all of the advancements that we've made, and obviously there's always some downside things, but that's part of the growing process of this young company. What do you see as some of the biggest differences for you from day one to here we are in July of 2023?
So obviously, one, just the size of the company, right? Just between talent and production and just everything. I think as with everything, as time progresses, we just become, you know, more like a well-oiled machine. And there are, in the beginning, you didn't know what to expect. Now I know what to expect. Like, okay, on Wednesday, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
But like, hey, that we're going to do it and we're going to do our best and our fans are going to love it. And at the end of the day, like we joke about it, like some of our best shows were shows that were all come up with at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, right? And at the end of the day, like because we're wrestlers and obviously Tony's not, but Tony thinks like a wrestler. So we're wrestlers. Running a wrestling company, it's just kind of crazy. But at the same time, you know how it is. If you know you have a match 6 weeks from now and you start thinking about that match, you might overthink it, right? Whereas if it's just on the fly, it's much better. So I'm not saying that TV should always be done like that, but it just seems like it happens. And so that overall, and then just, you know, you've seen people come and go, and, you know, you see that the it's what you've what I've seen on DVDs growing up. When the main guys like Stone Cold Steve Austin said, you know, I'm just a spoke on this wheel, and when I'm done, they're going to put it. And you see that, and you're like, oh, shoot, that's true.
It's real.
Yeah, it's real. So it's like, all right, how do I make myself? And this is what I've myself have succeeded in this company by just being honest with everybody. And whether it's to my detriment or not, I tell everybody exactly how it is. And I think the talent themselves, production, everyone appreciates that. Because like Harley was saying about how I help everybody, I do that not because I want people to help me in return. I just do it because I've been on the other end where you're left on read when you've sent messages to people. And like, so my wife hates me for it, but I'm on my phone 24/7 because everyone contacts me because I'm the one that answers everybody, right? Like,
fast,
and I answer fast because I want it. You know why? Because I'm not somebody that should be where I am, right? Like when I started, I was Cody Rhodes' assistant making less than minimum wage, really, because it was only supposed to be once a week and all this stuff. So I was like, all right, well, I don't want this for myself, right? At the end of the day, I want to be whatever I can be. And in a startup company, I remember talking to my uncle, who's a vice president of UPS Capital. He was like, in a startup company, you could end up being like one of the top bosses if you work hard. And I was like, really? He goes, you're going to see a lot of people aren't going to work hard. That's just the way the world works. And I was like, okay. So I just, yeah, hey, I'm going to answer everybody. And if I don't know the answer, I'm going to go find the answer. And I'm just going to keep doing blah, 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 blah. And I try to instill that in these guys and stuff. Like, hey, whatever we could do to make the show the best we possibly can, you just want to be the person that everyone wants to be around more than anything. And that's the other thing I try to teach even at our school is, like, sometimes you just got to be a normal person. You know what I mean? Like, we all have to work together. So you just be normal, have fun, and be honest with everyone, because that's something Cody taught me a long time ago. And it was the best advice I think I've ever gotten, was that everything we do out there, you know, so spoiler to people that are listening, but is a lie. So don't lie back here. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to do something, tell the person you don't want to do it. If you, you know, whatever it is you wanted. I mean, I remember texting Tony, asking him about winning a championship once, not in AEW, like another person's title. And he was just like, unfortunately, we're not doing business with them, but that's, man, I can't believe you just asked me that. I was like, well, yeah, I just want to ask, like, hey, this is, you know what I mean? Like, if you say no, no problem. Right. But if I never ask, yeah, I'll never know. Right. And so what's the worst? What's the worst that's going to happen? I could get fired, but realistically, that's the way I look at it. What is the worst that's going to happen? You know, I've been broke. I've been, you know, working other jobs. So this is a dream. And, you know, like I said, we just don't take anything for granted, including this interview. I texted him right away. I was like, guys, Jericho wants us to be on Talking Jericho.
So, you know?
I was just watching your stuff, and I was like, this is really good. Let's have a chat.
You know? Yeah, of course.
Let me ask you this too. Was it hard for you when Cody left? Because you mentioned you came in as assistant. You were kind of always seen as Cody's guy.
Yeah. So that's something he was really good about in the beginning, was like, hey, Matt, Nick, Kenny, and Chris especially, you know, whatever they need, please don't just be my guy. Like, it'll be the worst thing you could do. And so that's why, you know, from the beginning, I was always, it sucks not having him at work with us, right? Because, like, of course, he's one of my best friends. He's the closest thing to a brother besides my actual brother. But at the end of the day, you know, we still talk every day, and he still gives me great advice. And to see what he's been able to do, you know, is incredible. So I think it's just one of those things that, you know, it was weird at first, but I think I had already developed into something different by the time he was leaving, right? But like, by the time he left, I had already graduated to Tony's right-hand man. So it wasn't like a huge, you know, huge thing. But again, like I said, it sucks not. He had his own room, you know? Yeah. It was fun. We had a place to go. I don't have my own room, you know? And I was working. And I was like, wait a minute, guys. Like, I've never been in male talent because I was always his guy. And I don't have my own room. So now I'm just changing in Tony's locker room.
You came in, all the guys were looking at you like you're the warden.
They're
like, oh, now you want to share, dude.
Right. And I said, I was like, I can't go in there. No one's going to want to talk around me and stuff. And of course, I'm overthinking it. But then, like, I'm just getting changed in tone. So we finally got a vice president room in some arenas, depending on who's here or not. So this way, Tony's dad doesn't walk in and I'm getting changed for a match or something like that, you know?
Aaron, what are your plans now that you got a pretty good spot here with QT? And you mentioned you've traveled the world and 11 years of working, and now you're signed. What's your, you know, your goal to continue to improve and get a bigger presence on AAW?
QT's actually mentioned or asked a lot of times, he's like, what do you see yourself as? And I know this is going to sound so wild, but like I've never dreamed to be world champion. I know everybody says that they get in this to be that, but I was always into the Intercontinental mm-hmm. champion at the time, because you held it 8-9 times.
That was my dream too, because Steamboat held it. Ricky Steamboat was never the world champion in WWF. I didn't care. I wanted to be the Intercontinental champion.
Yeah. And like the other guys like Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, when I started getting, I started like really watching wrestling when I was 6, so that's 1993.
That was when the IC championship was for the workhorses. That was the workers belt. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would love to have a career similar to like that. And I tell QT, like when he goes, what do you see yourself as, or what do you want to be? I say, I want to be like a modern day X-Pac, because I felt like X-Pac was somebody who did very well. Mm-hmm. He was cool. And I mean, I don't know him like that, but like, I felt like he was very trusted backstage when it came to like mm-hmm. doing things and like,
anything he needed, he could do.
Yeah. And that's what I want to be. So, that's ideally somehow, I don't know how I'll get there, but that's what I would like to get to.
It's a great inspiration to have. Harley, let's finish up here with the rap, the famous rap. So you did such a great job with that rap, because I mean, Max Caster is a great rhymer, but as a rapper, it's very much, yo, blah, 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 blah. You did something completely different. Kind of talk about how you constructed that. What kind of response did you get? Maybe even, you know, ask you to drop a few lines maybe here and there. Kind of talk about that, because it's a big test for you.
Yeah, it's funny. So rapping, when I was at parties, it was like, who wants to hear me rap? Because I rap. So I was that like loser who loved learning really challenging raps. Like I used to listen to like Busta Rhymes and like, you know, Shady and all the time. And when I first started here, I think I came to QT and I was like, hey, if you ever want to rap battle, it's like, but hey, look at us
you
now.
You threw it out there and look what happened.
Right? Yeah. But I mean, as I said, composing music's been a big part of my life, but I also studied literature at a very young age. So writing and just words in general is something I have like an extreme interest with. So when the opportunity came, I was like, oh, I think we were in catering today. I was like writing it down really quick and I was like, oh, what about this and this and this and this? And then it just, you know, some of the best things I think happen on the fly. So it was one of those moments.
Rapping is also more about the meter of it, right? It's not just the words like,
yeah, it's like,
whatever, right?
It's kind of like the flow and the cadence as well too. And it's also, you know, so there's a linear structure when it comes to writing music, which is very, this is a dog, and that's a frog, mm-hmm. and that's a hog. And that's like the easy thing to do. But one thing that I always look at was Shady's way, like Eminem's way of writing, and he's really particular with where he accentuates the rhyme, and it's not linear-based. It fluctuates, and he uses multiple syllables within a certain timestamp, and he makes it really different. So I like to emulate that kind of style because I think it's different. It's not it's not like the ABCD kind of rap. I think it's more impressive when you can do something a little bit different.
What kind of feedback did you get when it dropped?
Oh, people hated it because they don't know music.
No, it's because you're attached to me. That's all it is. For whatever reason, people just hate me.
Honestly, it's mixed, but at the end of the day, you know, there's very few things in this world that I can confidently say if someone says something negative, I'm like, ah, shut up. Mm-hmm. You don't bloody know, mate. You know, I honestly think that the people that know music were like, hey, that was cool. And the people that don't do it, I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Bob, sitting at home.
Bob.
Probably just, you know, what have you ever written in your life besides this hateful text on Twitter?
And that doesn't rhyme and has no punctuation as well.
Yeah.
Capitalization as well.
Yeah. So,
grammar nerd.
The thing is, I mean, at the end of the day, I said this a while ago in a different interview in relation to everything we do, is that my goal is with music, with wrestling, everything, is to make you feel something or remember something. So it's sparking an emotion. So whether you hate it or love it, like, hey, you're talking about it.
Do you remember a line or two from it?
Oh, yeah.
Give me some of it.
What do you want? Where do you want me to
spit it out? Whatever.
I can go.
Start from start.
Okay. This one goes out to the acclaim. Let's kick it off quick. Your raps are lame. You couldn't make it in the music biz. This mic's your only claim to fame. Oh, goodness. What a shaka. Didn't know my rhymes would rock ya. QTV's in the building. Solo's bringing the banaka. Yeah. Do you want to hear the fast bit?
Sure.
Okay. For the people that said I lip sync, you can suck this.
This is all live. It's true.
Okay. Fill him with the venom. Fill him with the venom. Fill him with the venom and eliminate him. Otherwise, eliminate him. I don't want to hurt him, but I didn't mean to fit a rigid murder and again, but he will elevate him. Oh, yeah.
Damn. Jesus. Yeah. Didn't get any higher than that.
Yeah, no.
QTV, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen. Yes. One of my favorite new acts here in AEW. For sure.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.